Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Ladies and gentlemen, the president of the Savage States of America.
Be seated, please. Rest comfortably in your chairs, in your cars, in your prison cells. Donald Trump will be with us in the next hour, and believe me, the questions for today have never been asked before by anyone. I can guarantee you that. No one. This is not a softball interview. I like Donald. He likes me. I've supported him longer than anyone in the media. In fact, I was the first to interview Donald Trump in radio on a regular basis. January 10th, 2011. We have the tape, incidentally, for those of you who doubt everything that anyone says, all of you cyber warriors out there who sit at home hating everyone who's done better than you. The fact of the matter is, I've been supporting Donald since he announced, for one reason. The country's in trouble. The country is in trouble. We need a strong man to take on the enemies of America. I've seen this from the get-go. Whether he passes the litmus test of purity, I can't say. No one passes this purity test. No one is pure. No one's 100%. And all the current enemies of Donald Trump who've attacked him, the National Review in particular, have been attacking me for years, by the way. I don't know if you know this. They were no fans of Michael Savage because they don't own me. I am an independent. They don't own me. They don't like me. They're afraid of me. Nevertheless, Donald Trump will be here in the next hour. You'll hear questions that you've never heard anyone ask. You're not going to believe it. I wouldn't say this to you and then disappoint you because you're going to say, oh, you promised and you didn't deliver. Wait until you hear some of the questions that I'm going to ask. Now, before that happens, I have another announcement to make, which is psychically amazing timing. Just today, we announced my new ebook, Diseases Without Borders, where I explain the origins of viruses like the Zika virus and their impact on the U.S. and what you might do to build up your immunity against viral diseases. In plain English, it's an ebook. Its pub date isn't until next month. It's not a huge, big release, but it's a very important one. Dr. Michael Savage, Diseases Without Borders. If you want to learn more about it, go to michaelsavage.com. And I think any intelligent person, even the Doubting Thomases, will want to read what I have to say. I don't just make things up. I use references for my statements. Meanwhile, in the news, an outcry after refugee stabs Sweden's social worker. Here she was, a do-gooder, a liberal do-gooder, and she worked with the poor immigrants. Well, one of them gave her a little stabbing and killed her. That won't stop the Swedes, of course. There are no Vikings anymore. Those who were Vikings are in prison. All of the good Vikings are in prison in Sweden, run by a bunch of ninnies and sissies. Like all of the ex-great Nordic nations, ninnies and sissies running Norway, Sweden, Denmark, ninnies and sissies. And in Italy, the great Italy, oh, the Italians will stop them. Yeah, the rugged Italians. What rugged Italians? What rugged Italians? There's an invasion of 400,000 new immigrants coming in the next few weeks. Linked up from Breitbart on MichaelSavage.com. Take a look at them. Take a look. If they look weak to you, the immigrants from Somalia, you better lock your women up behind closed doors in Italy. That's all I can say. And where are the leaders in Italy and Sweden and Norway and Finland? Where did they go? Why are they afraid of the sissies and the ninnies who have told them that they can't stop the immigrants? Of course you can. Your ancestors did. That's why you had a nation with great cathedrals, great art, great music, great science, great achievements. Cities built because of your ancestors. And look what you've given away. Just what's happening here in America because of Obama. I have words for him I can't even use. I have words for him that I choose not to use. But nevertheless, there it is. That's what's coming here unless we get someone to stop it. Feds foresee $30 trillion debt. $30 trillion debt. looming tax hikes and Obamacare. That's the thin man, the smoking thin man in the White House. That's the legacy he's going to leave behind him. And who's waiting in the wings on the other side? Did you see that town hall last night? I watched it for 5 minutes after Teddy's cardiogram. I didn't feel very good to begin with. I just sat in the living room with the dog, stroking him, knowing that inevitably, you know, the way of all flesh and all that. I don't mean tomorrow, but, you know, I watched the cardiogram. I didn't know they did cardiograms for dogs. I saw him for my father before he died. And there was this wonderful doctor, his pet doctor, holding the dog down. Three women held him down. He let out a whine I never heard him give, a quiet, low whine. It cut right through me. I couldn't do anything. You know, he was crying. He was scared. It sounded like a porpoise in distress. It was on that level. It was like made only for me to hear. It was like, is that sound real? So I turned the thing on with the dog, just comforting him after the cardiogram thing, where we found out he has a mitral valve. Oh, irregularity and leakage and a little blood flow problem and this and that. And there I look at the so-called town hall meeting, an infomercial for the Democrats. I would say shame on CNN, but I never had any question about them having shame. They have no shame. Anyone would employ the people they have has no shame. And there he is, the street communist from New York, Bernie Sanders, saying, yes, we will raise taxes. He wants to go beyond Obamacare. He wants to adopt a single-payer health system. That means immigrants, illegals, legal, doesn't matter. Maybe you should give every person who visits a doctor not only free care, free drugs, but let's say a $100 tip for going to the doctor. What's the difference? It's Bernie Sanders.
I want to talk to the billionaires and the billionaires. Millionaires and billionaires. All the millionaires and billionaires who I've envied all my life. Those with better wives, better jobs, and better shoes. I've hated them all my life because I have a dirty suit and I look like hell. But the fact is that God made me this way, and God, as you know, doesn't exist, but I do exist. And when I become president, I'm going to tax those people, the millionaires and the billionaires, so they have filthy shoes like I do and an ugly wife.
We will raise taxes. Yes, we will. And he's surging in the polls, that's all. New figures show sex assaults on women in 12 of Germany's 16 states on New Year's Eve. Where have all the good Germans gone? They're run by sissies and ninnies. Germany's been taken over by the enemies of Germany. I said this to you many times about Merkel. Hitler, the evil Hitler. The evil Hitler invaded surrounding nations to impose Germany's will on those nations and to populate those nations with Germans. And now we have Merkel, like Obama, invading their own nations. Invading their own nations with third worlders to populate their nations with third worlders. Tell me it's not a crime. Tell me it's not a crime to do this to a nation. Well, it is a crime. 855-400-7282 is the phone number if you care to join the conversation. I was the first to interview Donald Trump in radio on a regular basis. We have the interview going back to 1-10-2011, and we're going to play snippets of the earlier interviews with you for reasons that you will see when we start playing them. Leading up, of course, to the next hour, where we have a live interview with Donald Trump. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something I never ask you to do. I've always ignored this. And that is to go on your social networking sites, whether it be tweeting or Facebook. And would you please tell them to listen to Michael Savage today and to hear Donald Trump, because you're going to hear something you've never heard anywhere else. If I don't deliver, I promise you that I will deliver on that promise. The questions that I will ask him, some of them at least, you've never heard before. They're not extracted from anyone else's show. And again, please visit michaelsavage.com. It was just put up 30 minutes ago. Just published as an ebook. It won't even be out for a week. Diseases Without Borders. New York Times bestselling author, epidemiology expert Dr. Michael Savage explains the origins of viruses like the Zika virus and their impact on the U.S. now and what you can do to bolster your own immune system. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. So far, I think today is going to be basically all of the, it's all Trump all day today. I mean, he's on in the next hour, but when I look back, on the interviews that I've done with him and the guys who worked for me, great guys, they went back and they found out that I interviewed him in January of 2011. And one of the questions I asked Donald Trump was, are you running for president? I didn't even know. I think he said no. Well, we'll have to see. He wasn't even he wasn't even committing yet. And we're going to play a piece of that. We're going to play a piece of some of the other interviews leading right up to the interview today. It's an amazing day because we're down to the wire. And incidentally, you have to know this. Our political system is so corrupt with these primaries. Don't give up hope. If Trump should lose Iowa, which could happen, I hope he doesn't, but he could. And then he loses New Hampshire, which could happen. Don't think he will, but it could. He could still win the presidency. Bill Clinton, I want to remind you, lost both Iowa and New Hampshire in the primaries and still won the presidency. Did you know that? Okay, so it can happen. We have a very crazy Byzantine electoral system in this country. Just, you know, as Casey Stengel said, it's not over till it's over. It's only just begun, by the way. So let's do this. Robert, please run the interview from January 10th, 2011, the first time I recall I ever interviewed Donald Trump. We'll just run it for a minute or so. Joining us right now is Donald Trump. Run the country like a business, not an empire. There's only one man I know who can do it, and that is Donald Trump. Donald, welcome to the Savage Nation. Thanks for being with us.
How are you, Michael? You're a piece of work, that I can tell you.
Well, now we don't know what you really mean when you say that. But look, when you and I spoke yesterday, I asked you straight up. I didn't mince words. I said to you, where do you stand on tariffs with regard to Chinese goods? And you didn't blink. You didn't mince words. Tell the audience what you think should be done.
Well, look, nobody is hurting outside of OPEC this country more than China. What China is doing to this country is absolutely a sin, and it shouldn't be allowed, and somebody has to speak to them. Somebody called me last week. The head of China is coming next week to see the president. And they said, what message would you have that the president should give? I said, the president should cancel the meeting and immediately cancel the meeting until such time as they stop manipulating their currency, et cetera, et cetera. Because when they manipulate their currency, our companies cannot compete with theirs. They
cannot compete.
Beyond labor, beyond other things, they can't compete.
Did he mince words? Did I mince words? Did I just do a puff piece interview in 2011? You decide for yourself. Robert, is it possible for you to move the tape forward and ask him, get to the point where I say, are you running for president? Is there any way to find that for the next segment? For the next segment, we'll find that one. In the interim, 855-407-282 is the phone number. Headlines, teen refugee arrested in stabbing death of Swedish social worker. The victim, a 22-year-old woman, was attacked Monday at the refugee center near Gothenburg. The alleged attacker was restrained by other residents until police arrived. It was messy, of course, a crime scene with blood. The perp had been overpowered by other residents. People were depressed and upset. They didn't identify the suspect or his nationality, but he was a resident of the center. Well, that would mean he was an immigrant, which houses unaccompanied minors between the ages of 14 and 17. Swedish media identified the murderer, suspect, as being 15 years old, and the victim, a 22-year-old girl named Alexandra Mazur, who has a family from Lebanon. But here's the punchline. It is so terrible. She was a person who wanted to do good. She wanted to be good. And then someone murdered her when she's doing her job. One of her cousins, who was not identified, told the Express tabloid in Sweden. All of you do-gooders out there, be very careful. You are being exploited in ways you could never imagine. And you're listening to a former social worker who was also once an idealistic young liberal. Trust me, you're just being used. You're a stooge and a tool. Let's go to some of the callers. Let's go to Harry on KSFO in San Francisco. What's on your mind, Harry?
Yeah, hi, Michael. You know, I'd like to break open the topic of the word conservative, the word concept. That words are important. The word conservative has no meaning anymore, has no usefulness. It's used by anything that isn't extreme left wing. Paul Ryan says he's a conservative. Donald Trump says he's a conservative. Everybody else is like a default catch-all term. And I think it should be replaced by constitutionalist. I think that's the new...
Save that for another show. Let me explain something to you. Donald Trump is neither a constitutionalist nor a conservative. He is, as far as I can tell, a moderate nationalist. I think that would be a more accurate description.
Okay, what word would we use instead of conservative?
I just said a moderate nationalist. Didn't you hear me? Moderate nationalist.
For him, but I mean in general, Michael.
I just gave you an answer. Moderate nationalist. What, because you didn't hear it on a radio show? You don't understand what I said to you?
Hey, moderate nationalist.
Okay, you know, this is the problem. You've got people who are brainwashed. They listen to other people. Then they call your show with the other. They regurgitate. Like birds, they regurgitate what they think they learned to sound smart on the radio. The wife left them a long time ago. They're left alone with a cat. They got nothing to do but listen to talk radio. Regurgitate. Donald Trump is not a conservative who passes the muster of all of the wonderful folks at the National Review. Those, for example, who once shined William F. Buckley Jr.'s suits and pressed his coats. But the fact of the matter is, you may not know this about old William F. Buckley Jr., but go research this and see if I'm wrong, all you National Review types. He said the important thing is to win. Did you know that? Did you know that William F. Buckley Jr. said, let's win? He understood what pragmatism meant. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's wonderful to be a purist. It's wonderful to stand on a high horse and say you're better than everybody else. But it's really more wonderful to save your nation by winning an election every once in a while instead of throwing it under the throwing it in the garbage because you're so perfect. Anyway, that's the story. If you care to join the conversation, 855-407-2822. WABC, Tommy, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's your topic, Tommy?
Hey, no, Mike. I agree with you on the outbreak of diseases on the immigrants. My sister picked up scabies at an emergency room, taking my brother-in-law. He had a stroke. And when she went to the doctors, the doctor told her that there's an outbreak of scabies in all the emergency rooms out on the east end of Long Island.
Oh, sure. Well, look, this is part of the beauty of liberalism and immigration. They bring with us all of their diseases, all of their cultural mores, all of the hygienic advances that they have in the third world. And that's why I wrote Diseases Without Borders, my friend. It's up on michaelsavage.com only at 30 minutes ago. Diseases Without Borders, back in a minute on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Again, if you've just joined us, Donald Trump, in a milestone interview in the next hour, and you're going to listen to it and say, did he really deliver? Did Savage deliver? Did he ask anything no one else has asked? You'll be surprised at the answer you're going to have to give, which is yes, he broke new ground. He made news today. I asked him questions. I wrote out questions. We'll see what the answers are going to be. But we're going on a flashback now to January 10th, 2011, because I believe that this was one of the first, if not the first, radio interview about Donald Trump's candidacy. And you see how far back we go. I mean, what year is it? Oh, it's 2016. Savage was interviewing Trump 5 years ago? Really? And I didn't get permission from the National Review to decide what I should think? So in this interview from 2011, I asked him, are you running for the presidency? Listen now and tell me what you think. There's a lot more we have to cover over the months to come. I don't even know if you're running. Are you really ready to run for the presidency, Mr. Trump?
Well, I'm a proud American. I love this country. I've never seen anything like what's happening now. I've never seen OPEC go so crazy as they are right now. Oil is now $90 a barrel. It should be $30. I've always been told by a certain very smart friend of mine who's truly an expert on oil that whenever we have oil above 30 and 40, this country has to lose money. And I believe that it was OPEC, and I believe it was oil prices, that really caused the almost demise
of our economic nation. All right, so as you can see, he was sitting on the fence back in 2011. He changed the question from that to OPEC, and he talked about the price of oil, which is certainly not a problem today. What is oil at now? $20 a barrel or something? I don't know where it is. How come my gas is not $1 a gallon? Who's making money now? I mean, if oil's $20 a barrel, I should be paying, what, 50 cents to $1 a gallon of gas? Who's stealing the money? And in 2011, I asked him toward the end of the interview, and Robert, you can play the rest of that, can't you? What is it, a few minutes left? You know, I talk about the United States not having the respect of other nations. And I'm trying to tell you that I have defined for myself Donald Trump as a moderate nationalist. I don't know what he defines himself as. I don't think he needs to be defined. But apparently that doesn't pass muster for the elitists who call him every name under the sun because he's not pure enough. What I love is that all the people who are attacking Donald Trump as not being a pure enough conservative don't understand that they're actually taking the line of elitists. The very enemies of this country are called elitists. And here you have people who call themselves conservatives who are acting like those elitists themselves by saying Donald Trump is not enough of an elitist for them. Now, I want you to think about that one. So if I can get 65 to 70% of what I want out of a candidate, I'd say that's better than 0%, wouldn't you? Or less than zero from Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders? Now, you want to sit there and say the South will rise again, go ahead and save your Confederate money, because I'm sure the South will rise again. Many of you are very much like those who lost the Civil War, and you're sitting there and saying, save your Confederate money, the South will rise again. You have lost the war that you are talking about. It's over. The world has changed in front of your eyes, and either you adapt or you die. It's the first rule of survival, adapt or die. Did I say compromise? No, I said adapt. Those are two different words. I didn't say compromise, I said adapt. Two different words. But it requires a level of language to understand the difference between compromise and adaptation. I guess you need a background in survival to understand what adaptation means. Because political enemies will say that if you're adapting to reality, you're compromising. I would say you're adapting to reality, not compromising. If you want to remain a true believer for whom the bell tolls, go ahead. Be my guest. So again, I want to go back a little bit and review some of the earlier interviews that we did on the Savage Nation. I invite you to call at 855-407-282 while we're waiting for the interview in the next hour. Robert, you get the next interview ready. Which one is this one going to be from? Because I don't know. I've lost track of which one we're doing. No answer. Okay. Big dialogue. I can't hear my callers and I can't hear my board operator. They haven't figured out how to throw the switch yet. M.A., you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead.
Hey, Michael, how you doing? I just wanted to say, we love, down here in South Carolina, we love Donald Trump. And, I mean, we love Ted Cruz. We love both of them. When Trump first came out, you know, said he was going to run, you know, and started talking about immigration, everybody down here loved it. I mean, we loved it. But now, I mean, we got two candidates that we like. We like Cruz because he's a conservative. I don't expect Donald Trump to be a cookie-cutter conservative kind of guy. That's not what he is, but he's electable. A lot of people like him. But if they keep going at each other like they're going at each other, I mean, I think that they're doing more harm than they're doing good.
Well, you make a very good point. I believe you're 100% right. And I said after the first debate when Megyn Kelly set them all off against each other, they shouldn't have taken the bait. They should have attacked Hillary Clinton. That is the number one mistake that the Republican candidates have been making, which is taking the bait of the evildoers in the media. They may look nice because they have blonde hair and blue eyes and they have a shapely figure, but never forget that it's the evil ones in the media who have destroyed America to begin with. And let me tell you something. They're doing a very good job of finishing us off right now by turning the Republicans against each other. They should turn the questions around, refuse to attack each other, and attack Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. That's all they should be doing. No matter what's thrown at them, turn it back on the interviewer. That's what I would do. But I'm not running for office, okay? WMAL, Marty, welcome to the Savage Nation from Washington, D.C. What's on your mind?
Oh, I just think that Sanders, the reason people are liking him and Hillary's going to lose votes to him, is he tells the truth. Just like last night on that town hall, he's going to raise your taxes. People want the truth. And then some young college guy, or he was just out of law school, asked her a question and said, people of his generation, his age, think that she's a liar, which she is. But that's why. I mean, he's
good. Well, I'm sure that Hitler told the truth, too. So what, only the truth matters? Well, what is the truth he's telling? That he hates anyone who's done well in America? That he hates America itself? He's telling the truth.
He is. He's telling the truth that the only way he's going to pay for anything is he's going to raise your taxes.
And that appeals to the people on welfare, that appeals to illegal immigrants, that appeals to kids in college who don't work for a living. So it's very appealing to those who don't work, those who don't pay taxes, and those who live off the government largesse. Of course it appeals to them.
And those college kids that he's going to get are the ones that believe that he's going to erase their...
When did a college kid ever know anything about reality? What does a college kid know? What do they know? All they know is their emotions, that's all. All they know is partying. That's what they know in college.
Right,
what do they know? What do we care what a college kid thinks? What do they know about reality?
They live in a microcosm. That's what they live in, where everything's perfect and everybody's nice to everybody. There's no reality in college.
Yeah, that's right. So an idiot, I should say a demagogue, would appeal to them, like old Bernie. Old Bernie, the honest old Bernie, I'll raise the taxes on the evil, filthy rich. That appeals to the college kid who hasn't made a dime yet. Lived on the Father or the Mother or the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the call. Or perhaps a scholarship. WJR, Dan, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's your topic?
Hello, Michael. Yeah, it's about this immigration to Europe. I think one aspect we need to look at more is the gender imbalance it's going to create. These countries are very thin on the 20 to 30-year-old age. They're old countries. And to bring a ton of males in, we're going to have situations like China, dozens and dozens of males without any prospect of marriage, or it's just going to create horrible instability.
Well, I can't answer that question, but if you're bringing in unwed males of a military age to a nation, it sort of begs the question as to why you're bringing in males of a military age without families into a nation. Why would you do that?
I think to take half of the females away to create instability and chaos.
There's the old, nice, thin, smoking man in the White House at work, isn't it?
Yes.
Thank you for the call. So now I want to go back in time. Robert, what's the date of the following interview, the snippet from the Donald Trump previous interviews, please? Of what year? We are now going to take you back in time for a short visit, October 6th, 2015, where Donald Trump was on this show, and I asked him about the TPP deal, which, by the way, Ted Cruz supports. Incidentally, all you pure conservatives, pure as the driven snow, can you explain why Ted Cruz supports something that Obama wanted so badly? Or you've conveniently forgotten that because you're so pure, because you read the National Review? Ben Carson's remarks on Syria. Does he support Putin's incursion into Syria? The possibility of China joining with Russia to fight ISIS? Why did we lose everything we do with Obama? Will he stand up for people who are proud of what they've achieved? I talked about the corruption in science and fake global warming industry. And then I talked with him, strangely enough, saying, I asked him point blank, if you win the presidency, would you appoint me to head the NIH or HHS? I said point blank that I would consider such a job, although I laid in bed last night thinking I could never do it. The thought of flying back and forth to Washington, I swear to God, I went through my head. I said, Michael, you know, you better be careful what you wish for, because what if he wins the presidency and he gives you a call and says, Dr. Savage, Donald Trump is on the phone. Hello, Michael. Michael, we'd like you to come to Washington and run the Department of Health and Human Services. We want you to tighten up welfare. We want you to throw all the fake collectors of disability out. We want you to tighten up the grants and contracts division of the NSF, the NIH. We want all fraud in science stopped. You're the only man we trust to do it. I said, holy God, would I really take a job like that? I swear to you. And then I envisioned myself flying back and forth to Washington, which I cannot do. I hate flying, number one. I said, does Nancy Pelosi still use Air Force jets to go back and forth? Remember that scandal of a few years ago? Does Feinstein use Air Force G4s, G5s on the government dime to fly back and forth and reimburse first-class fares? Wow, that's very generous. We have to look into that, Robert. Can someone do a quick Google search listening to the show? Does Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein still use Air Force jets to fly back and forth to Congress? That's number one. I said, they're not going to give me an Air Force jet to fly back and forth. And so think of the wear and tear. Then I thought of living in an apartment in Washington, like a Ralph Nader type, alone in a room with a dog, That's if Teddy's still living, which I hope he will be, a year from now. And I said, I don't know if I can do that. Can I start all over again and run the... Then I thought of... I'm telling you exactly what went through my mind. Then I thought of being a bureaucrat, which I've never been in my life, sitting at a desk with a suit and tie, which unto itself is a stress, every day, having to be there every day with a suit and tie, and sit at a desk and have meetings from 7 o'clock in the morning till 7 at night with bureaucrats who were kowtowing to me like an ancient China, coming in, bowing to make sure that the gravy train is not interrupted, and making certain that the grants and contracts that they put in place remain in place, because their fiefdoms would be affected otherwise. Then meeting with the heads of universities, the heads of science departments, I couldn't do it. I don't live to get over on people. I'm very unusual that way. I don't get off on that. I don't get off on people begging me for things. In fact, I've avoided it all my life. Don't you think I could have been a moderately successful bureaucrat had I wanted to be? Well, I never wanted to be. I never wanted to work in such a structure. God knows we need some of them. I didn't say we don't need all of them. But what I'm saying is I don't think I can do it at the end of the day. The most I could do is truthfully be sort of a Ronald Reagan-esque, remember kitchen advisor, what do you call it? His kitchen cabinet, remember that? Ronald Reagan had what was called a kitchen cabinet. What was a kitchen cabinet? It was a group of advisors who advised him outside of the cabinet because they were smarter than those appointed to these bureaucracies. And they had strengths that the bureaucrats didn't have, while the bureaucrats had the strength of management. That's a whole specialty that you shouldn't underestimate. The ability to manage things in a large organization is not a joke. And the average person could not do it. You need tremendous skills for management. There's a lot to be said for bureaucrats who can manage large entities with large numbers of people. So we have to be realistic as to what we're asking for and what we can actually do. But without further ado, let's go back in time to the past and run a little bit when we come back right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Again, I want to reiterate something. If I'm not for myself, who will be? If I'm only for myself, who am I? I interviewed Donald Trump about the presidency way back in January of 2011, where I asked him, are you running for the president? Long before anyone else was even thinking of Donald Trump, I was asking him about this, about tariffs on China, about making Iraq pay us back for oil, about Iran's possible domination of Iraq and pulling the troops out of Afghanistan. I asked him about running America like a business that's always taking a loss. I talked about China devaluing their currency and how it's killing America's trade. I talked about how other nations don't have any respect for this country anymore. You can find it all, by the way, on that interview. And I don't have time. I'm not going to play it for you. But in the next hour, we're going to play snippets of other interviews with Donald Trump to set the record straight. And wait until the real interview of today comes up at 30 after the hour in the next hour, the live interview or today's interview with Donald Trump, to be more specific. And you'll hear questions that you've never heard asked of Donald Trump before. Never. And after the interview, you can call the show and tell me if I delivered on that promise or not. So before we go to that, again, I want to invite you to visit the show or call it at 855-407-282. Or on Facebook, again, would you use your social networks to tell everyone about the Donald Trump interview that's coming up on the Savage Nation? And would you please go to michaelsavage.com and check out my just-released ebook. It's not even published, but it's in time for today, boy. Diseases Without Borders, Boosting Your Immunity Against Infectious Diseases. Yep. And what is that about? Why, it's all about immigration, isn't it? With new and unregulated diseases resulting from unregulated immigration and a politicized public health system, Savage sees the need for changes, starting with the president and the Centers for Disease Control telling us the truth. And you will find out how to defend your body against deadly diseases, boost your immunity, and learn more about the government's impact on reemerging and imported diseases and diseases without borders. Even liberals should read the book.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Pomp and circumstance. Michael Savage interviews Donald Trump in exactly 30 minutes. I know many of you are hanging on, figuring, it's going to be the same old schmoozy thing. Savage has been in the tank for Trump from the beginning. What do you expect, you know? Well, you're wrong about all of those views, because I'm not in the tank for anyone. I just figured he's the best hope we have for the country right now, given the perilous situation that we're in. And I was right. And I started interviewing him. We checked today. The first interview with Donald Trump was on January 10th, 2011. Oh, yeah. Long before anyone else in the media, so far as I know, if I'm mistaken, let me know. Long before anyone else in the media even thought Donald Trump was going to run or could run or would run or might run, I was asking about tariffs on China, South Korea, Iraq oil, Iran's domination of Iraq, running America like a business, devaluing the dollar, how to regain America's the respect for America around the world. And we have the answers from that interview. And then today you're going to hear things I believe you've never heard anyone else ask him. I guarantee you. I'm looking at the questions I have prepared here. Two of them have never been asked by anybody. And I'm going to be very interested in the replies that we get on the Savage Nation. So before we go backwards, 855-407-2822, if you care to join the conversation. If you want to go to michaelsavage.com, you can do that. You can take a look at the horrible headlines from around the world. And I don't know about timing in the world. They say it's everything. Diseases Without Borders was just listed today as an e-book. I wrote it a year ago. The publisher held it for a year for no reason that I know. And it's an e-book that'll be out in a week. And it's about the origins of viruses, like the Zika virus, and their impact on the U.S. now, what you can do to stimulate your own immune system. You can laugh if you want. I don't really care. Go ahead and laugh. Wait until it's you get the correct answers from Dr. Sanjay Bubblegum or Sanjay Guppyfish. If Dr. Sanjay Guppyfish told you what to do to stimulate your immune system, you'd listen to him, right? But if Dr. Michael Savage tells you, you don't listen because you don't like my politics. Well, do so at your own risk. That's all I can say. Now, let's go to the next important point. Some of these Trump interview flashback questions, they're very short snippets. Let's go to 10:06:15. And this is an important one because it's on the TPP deal. Many of you don't know what that is. It gave Southeast Asian nations the ability to out-negotiate us. Barack Obama lobbied very hard in favor of this deal. Ted Cruz supported President Obama in giving him this unprecedented power to negotiate this deal. Many of you National Review readers don't know that. Listen to clip 22 on the Savage Nation. On the trade deal with Asia, I know where you stand. This is not free trade. Even the AFL-CIO Bernie Crackpot Sanders opposes it. Tell the audience, please, why you oppose the trade deal Obama's trying to force down our throats.
Well, first of all, it's countries that are going to allow China to come through the back door. You know, they're going to get the biggest piece of it. You watch, as they always do. We're losing almost $400 billion a year with China. But
bingo.
Almost as important, it's all manipulation. We don't do anything about currency manipulation. We don't know how they're manipulating. The single biggest threat we have is currency manipulation that these countries, and in particular Japan and now China and others, not only now China, now China for years, what they've been doing to us, Michael, with trade manipulation, with monetary manipulation, is incredible on trade. So what they do is they make it impossible for our companies to compete, and all it is going to do is take out jobs. And the reason it's going past, and the reason you have some people supporting it on both Democrat and Republican side, is because the lobbyists and the special interests are pushing them hard for certain companies that are big beneficiaries of this. But the country is a loser, and it means jobs are going out of the United States as usual.
I read the deal in detail, the best I could do it, Mr. Trump, and I find that small mom-and-pop car part dealers, clothing manufacturers in the U.S. will probably go out of business from foreign-made goods, which will flood into the United States. How can Obama get away with this when even the AFL-CIO opposes it? How is that possible?
Well, the lobbyists representing the companies that want this to happen have contributed to Obama. But these are all lobbyists and special interests, and frankly, they probably represent the countries involved, the 11 countries, but they also represent companies that want this to happen because it's good for them but bad for our country. And essentially what it does is it takes jobs out of our country, and as usual, it takes money out of our country. And watch what happens. China is going to come through the back door, and they're going to become a part of it later on at an even better deal.
That was from 10:06:15. Ted Cruz, I will remind you again, I'll rub your noses in it. Ted Cruz supported TPP, lobbied for it, along with the lobbyists who are for it. Ted Cruz supported Barack Obama in giving him this extraordinary power. And how many of you who support Cruz conveniently forget this is astonishing to me. You attack Trump, but you don't want to look at the dirt under your own shoe. So you just heard it, you know what I mean? I don't forget things. I have a very good memory when it comes to that. There's another thing you should know. Many critics of Donald Trump say, you know, he never is specific. Right? Don't we hear that all the time? Oh, all he does is speak in platitudes and generalities. When is he going to be specific? Was that not a specific statement about the TPT deal, the TPP deal? He was very specific. We can guarantee you he'll undo the deal when he becomes president, should he win. So don't tell me he's not specific. I've asked him one specific question after another since 2011. But the doubting Thomas is out there. Oh, he's not specific. He speaks in platitudes. Let him say something more than I'll be great again. America will be great again. He's very specific about TPP, right? In another interview that is worthy of your interest before the interview of today, I asked him on 11/18/15, before Thanksgiving of last year, about ISIS. You want specifics? Clip 23, please. What would you do right now to stop ISIS if you were president?
I would hit them so hard that you wouldn't even believe it. We would hit them every which way. We have to demean. You know, there has to be a demeaning. Like, I watched where all the networks are calling this wise guy a mastermind, the mastermind behind the attack. What's the mastermind? They walk into a place, nobody has guns. They walk into a place, they shoot everybody. He's a mastermind. We have to demean these people. We can't call people masterminds when they're savages. They're just savage, to use a very familiar term.
That's traumatic for me.
I don't want to be associated with them.
No, I get it, but I agree with you 100%. In World War II, we had a propaganda campaign against Nazis and the Japanese. We demeaned them. We humiliated them with propaganda. Instead, we have vermin in the media who glorify them. Topic two, Mr. Trump, when you are president, would you deport all the Muslim refugees that Obama is rushing into America?
Well, you know, I said that 4 weeks ago. I said, if they come, I'm just putting everybody on notice that if they come, they are going to be deported. Now, it's a very sad thing, and I have a bigger heart than any of them, but we have no choice. We can't. We're a country that has nothing but problems, including $19 trillion in debt. We have nothing but problems. I said, if they come, they will go back if I win. Now, we should build a safe zone along with everybody else. You know, the Gulf states aren't putting up anything. You look at the money they make with the oil and everything else. They don't take anybody. They don't put up any money. They said, why should they when the dumb United States and other countries will do it? Look at what she's done to Germany. So I would hit them so hard. And don't forget, on your show last time, I said, and I've been saying it for 2 years, hit the oil, right? I always said, I actually said hit the oil and take it. But
right.
Hit the oil because you take away their wealth. And that's where they get a lot of their money, the oil that they took over, that we gave them when we left. You know, when we left, we gave them so much. It's just not only military, but we gave them everything. So I said, hit the oil. Now, about 2 days ago, they started hitting the oil. Does anybody say thank you, Donald? Nobody. I've been the only one. I was taking abuse. They said, oh, that's such a horrible thing to say. But now they're hitting the oil.
Well, that was him then. And listen to what I'm saying to you. Very specific prescription for the problem of ISIS, right? He didn't speak in platitudes or generalities. He didn't have to map out a war plan. That's all. He had told you what he's going to do. He'll hire a General MacArthur to come in and make sure the plan is enacted. So all of the doubting Thomases and those trying to run him down really have to get with the program and recognize that they're wrong. They're just wrong about Donald Trump. And I think he's the best man for the job, or I wouldn't have put myself out like this. I mean, I never really think about it. I put myself out like this. I put myself behind this candidacy for 5 years now, when you think about it. Long before others, oh, Donald who? What? Are you kidding? That businessman? No. I'm for this one. Remember when the Rand Paul people were running around the country like really crazy people? We'd get calls from the Rand Paulers. Robert, remember those days in radio? They call like crazy. Day and night. Well, the same thing's happening with the Cruz fanatics. They're like the Rand Paul supporters. They're like, you know, save your Confederate money, the South will rise again. I mean, they may as well print their own currency. They may as well print their own bullion and give it out to each other, how fanatical they are. Everything's changed. You've got to move with what's going on. And what's going on is Donald Trump. He's the only chance we have. And you've got to understand that he may not fit the bill in 100% of the way, but I think it's all we're going to get. The best we're going to get, and I think it's a lot more than most of us think we're going to get, in my opinion. The phone number here is 855-400-7282. Let's take a quick call on the Savage Nation. Again, if you just joined the show, you have not missed a live interview with Donald Trump. He will be on this program at 34 minutes after the hour. That's only 19 or 20 minutes, by the way, if you can't wait. So go eat a chocolate bar or something if you want to calm down or have a cup of tea. Let's take some great Cornish line and no one's there, no runner. We'll try another one. KBET, Rick, you're the next one. Go ahead, please.
Hi there. I've noticed a trend for, you know, the last many election cycles since Perot. By the way, he turned out to be right about NAFTA. But, you know, you take Ron Paul, Pat.
Wait, hold it. Let's not have a general rambling discussion on a national show. What's your main point?
My main point is that these so-called outsiders, you know, and Donald Trump is the latest in a long string of them. When you see the left and the right, and particularly the media, just go after these guys with so much venom, you know that it's because they're threatening the system. You know, they threaten.
Correct. That's exactly right. They're threatening the established order. They're threatening the gravy train. You understand? Thank you very much. That's absolutely true. They're threatening the gravy train. WJR, WMAL, WABC, great stations. I'd love to hear from a station in Iowa. We have three affiliates in the great state of Iowa. And there must be someone listening to the Savage Nation in Iowa who'd like to call the show, since all eyes are on Iowa and Donald Trump's on the way to Iowa. You guys are holding an awful lot in your hands, and I still don't know why. As wonderful as your people are as being the sort of, I would say, what, the breadbasket of America in many ways, I'd say that's a fair assessment. Iowa, that region, corn, right? Isn't that what you raise? You're the basis of all of our livestock, corn, things like that. You're the essence of our survival in this country. But politically, we're not... How many times do I have to say the same thing? Our political system is in such desperate need of a reform. I don't know who can do this. This two-party system is as antiquated as the buggy whip. Winner take all? Nonsense. It should not be that way. I have felt since I'm a young man it shouldn't be that way. I felt since I'm a young man with all the time and money spent. That whoever wins the presidency should be the president, and whoever loses the presidency should be the vice president from the other party. How do you like that? Now, wouldn't that make for a balanced reaction? Why do you need two men, president and vice president, from the same, quote, party? They're not America. They're a party. What is a political party? It's fundamentally a lobbying group. It's a guild. It's just a guild. Who feathers the nests of those on their side of the aisle. They don't necessarily represent America. You understand that? Okay, my friends, the phone number here is 855-407-282. The website is michaelsavage.com. The important new ebook that is listed for the first time today on my website, you can buy it at Amazon when it comes out, is Diseases Without Borders. Shocking that the timing is unfortunately so apt. Diseases Without Borders, back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So...
We will raise taxes... Yes, we will. But also, let us be clear, Chris.
Oh, there it is.
Because there's
the commie, Bernie Sanders, the hater of those better than him, talks the talk of attacking the successful in America because the have-nots always want to get the haves. He will raise taxes. What's intriguing to me is that he began proudly saying he was a socialist when he was a Vermont senator. Did he not say he's the only socialist in the Senate? Do you remember that, Robert? All we heard was there's one avowed socialist in Congress, Bernie Sanders. Right? We heard it over and over again. He's an avowed socialist, an avowed socialist, an avowed socialist. Have you noticed what the media has done with this overt avowed socialist? They've turned into a grandfatherly nice Democrat. Even Fox News won't refer to him as a socialist anymore. Why is that? Because they're liars. They're propagandists. I don't care if they have blonde hair, blue eyes, nice legs, and good shoes. I don't care if they put their lipstick on right. They're part of a propaganda machine. Sanders was known as a socialist from the get-go. That's why he won in Vermont. In Burlington, Vermont. Filled with New Yorkers who fled New York after destroying it. They ruined the Upper West Side of Manhattan with their liberalism, and then after they couldn't live in their own neighborhood, they ran to Vermont to destroy Vermont. So the one of theirs took over Vermont and ruined Vermont. The next thing you know, the idiot's taken seriously across America, and all of the media outlets suddenly not referring to the 73-year-old crank as a socialist anymore. Not even a leftist. He's no longer a leftist, nor a socialist. He's suddenly Bernie Sanders, just another candidate of the Democrat Party. Do you see how propaganda works? Why it's so important to have someone like me who knows history and the history of politics and the history of the political candidates. And speaking of which, I will remind you of the history of Michael Savage and Donald Trump, who's going to be up in 5 or 6 minutes live on the show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States of America, Mr. Donald Trump on the Michael Savage Show. Mr. Trump, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, thank you very much, Michael.
Well, you know what an honor is for me. Big question, would you appear at the Fox debate if Megyn Kelly is the moderator? I hope not.
Well, you know, we're looking at it. I don't think she can be fair. I never thought she was a good professional, but we're looking at it. We'll see. I mean, I want to do it. I love the debates. You know that I've won. In fact, you've told people I've won, according to every poll, I've won all 5 debates. And actually, I guess we've had 6. Hard to believe how it's, you know, going the time.
Donald, why do we need all these debates? You know, this is nonsense. It's a show for the media. You're so far ahead in the polls. If it was me, I would just... An empty chair would draw more attention than her, for God's sakes.
I understand that. And frankly, I think it's too many debates. The Democrats are finished with their debates. That was one of the most boring debates I've ever seen, or forums, or whatever they call it. But too many debates. It's ridiculous. And I love the debating. I've had fun doing it. I've done great with it. I've really, everyone said I won the last debate, and I won all of the debates, according to the polls. But I'll tell you what, it's ridiculous to have so many, and I don't think that Megyn Kelly can be fair. I don't think she's a great professional.
No, I agree. Issue of immigration, Mr. Trump. Every day another story about Muslim refugees in Europe raping, murdering. Yesterday a refugee stabbed a Swedish social worker who tried to help this boy. He stabbed her to death. 400,000 new immigrants from Somalia pouring into Italy. What would you do to reverse Obama's flooding of America with violent and diseased immigrants? I know it's a tough question, but this is the number one issue on Americans' minds.
Not a tough question for me at all. Number one, I wouldn't have them come in, but if I win, I'm going to send them back. And I told everybody, sending them back. They have to go back. We have no idea where these people came from. They're young, they're strong, in many cases they're men. When you look at the migratory lines, when you look at the big migration, so many men, so many strong men. You almost say, why aren't they back fighting for their country?
And
we have no idea where they come from, Michael. We have to send them back. We have no choice. We have a country that's a mess. Look what's happening to Germany. Look what's happening to Brussels, places that never even thought of this stuff. And I don't know what's wrong with their leaders. At least we're not the only ones that have terrible leaders. I mean, what's wrong with their leaders? They're destroying Europe.
Yes, and it's a terrible future for all of us. Number 3, military defeating ISIS. Mr. Trump, Obama just appointed another non-military man to run the Defense Department. We are at war with radical Islam. Everyone with a brain knows that. Would you agree on this show to only appoint a combat experienced veteran as defense secretary? For example, I could recommend Senator Tom Cotton for the job. A great man, war veteran, put to the back of the bus by the Republicans. What do you think of that idea?
Well, I think it makes sense. I mean, you're dealing with the military. You should certainly have a military person. We're looking for the next George Patton. We're looking for the next Douglas MacArthur. I mean, we have, you know, we have great people. When you look at West Point and Annapolis and the Air Force Yep. Academy, we have unbelievably smart, tough cookies in there. You understand? We're not using them. We're not using the best in our finance. We have to find the next Patton. We have to find the next MacArthur. We have to get people. I watched a couple of the generals being interviewed, always being interviewed.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, why are generals being interviewed to start off with, okay?
Yeah.
And saying, you know, they were talking about ISIS, like, oh, it's difficult and it's difficult. This was one of the generals leaving. And, you know, as he was leaving service. And frankly, I think it's they should prohibit it because it actually gives ISIS and these enemies of ours, it gives them power when they hear the way they talk. So we need the right attitude. We have absolutely the wrong people and the wrong attitude. But we do have great people in there. We have to find out who they are. And that's what I'm very
Tom, Senator Tom Cotton would be my recommendation when I'm in your kitchen cabinet. Mr. Trump, Bernie Sanders worries me. He is a naked far-left radical, some would say communist. He has been so his whole life. I know the exact type from New York's delicatessens and streets. And yet, this crazy man is rising in the polls because he promises everything to everyone. What would you say to my audience about Bernie Sanders, and how would you overcome the hordes of poor and immigrants who hate the rich?
Well, I think what's happening with Bernie Sanders, you know, he's probably a communist. He wants to make your taxes at 90%. He wants to give everything away, but he's not giving anything away. He's going to destroy the fabric of what we are. And ultimately, everyone's going to pay the biggest price of all. But, you know, you're talking about even Hillary Clinton, I noticed the other day, was saying, you can't pay for this. We're going to have to double taxes. I mean, you would literally have to double, triple, quadruple taxes if you were going to do the kind of crazy things that he wants to do. So probably he's not going to make it. It's hard to believe that he's going to make it. If he did make it into the election, I think I'd be very happy if I were the one, you know, on the other side. I just can't believe that this country is ready for socialism or communism, because it's pretty close to communism, some of the things he wants to do.
I've said that I pray he wins. In fact, I may support his campaign, because if it was capitalism, Donald Trump, versus communism, Bernie Sanders, let's call it like it is, it's an 85-15 victory for you. Be the greatest landslide in history. The last question of this series, and I know you're so super busy, and I know how important it is for me and my listeners that you came on the show today, going into the primaries on Saturday. And it's a tough question for me, but I've had people call me and say, I don't like Donald Trump, he's a bully. And what I say to them, we need a tough negotiator to beat our enemies. Americans have been wimped down and think we need a nice guy like Mr. Rogers in the Oval Office. Mr. Trump, how will you appeal to all of these brainwashed fools who think that we need a wimp in the White House?
Well, I think I'm a nice person. I've always tried to be a nice person. But, you know, I really don't believe that this election is going to be about niceness. I think it's going to be about competence. We have had incompetent leadership for so many years right now. Getting us into the war was terrible, and Bush did that. Getting us out of the war was horrible the way he did it. He didn't have any idea how to do it, and the way he did it was terrible. I've always said, take the oil, keep the oil. And, you know, now, only now did they start hitting the oil. I said, doing it on your show 4 years ago, I was talking about it, and they just started. We now need a toughness, and we need a competence, or we're not going to have a country left. Everything is going bad. You look at trade with China. You look at the fact that we have no borders. Mexico is ripping us off. China is ripping us off. Japan is ripping us off. We don't win anymore, and we're going to win a lot. If I get it, if I am able to get it, and, you know, my theme is Make America Great Again, Michael, we are going to start winning again so much, and that's what we have to do.
I agree. We don't need a nice Mr. Rogers in the White House. We'll be run over. We'll be nothing left of this nation. Four more years of this insanity. Secondly, behind the scenes of nice guys, as you probably well know from business, there's usually a knife in his hand, which he's holding behind his back to put it in our backs first. I don't believe in nice guys. And Donald, many conservative pundits and leaders, and particularly the losers at the so-called National Review, which is what, 100,000, maybe maximum 10,000 readers, have said they will not support you. How can you turn these individuals around and convince them to vote for you when you win the primary? Many of them are so foolish that they say do you know that Glenn Beck said that he'd rather support Bernie Sanders than Donald Trump? You know what I said about him yesterday, Donald?
What?
I said, I didn't know that Preparation H crosses the blood-brain barrier that quickly, because that's the only explanation for Glenn Beck's statements lately. But how do you turn these people around?
I don't know. You know, Glenn Beck is a failing guy, just like the magazine is failing. The magazine is really failing. I don't think it's going to be in business much longer, but everyone knows it's got very little influence, and they got some publicity. Glenn Beck, years ago with John McCain, do you remember, he said he will support Hillary Clinton over John McCain. He wanted to support Hillary Clinton over John McCain. So, you know, Glenn Beck is, every time I watch him, he's crying. He's like a mess. He's got a lot of problems. he's like a total mess. But I would say this. Those people, and many people are coming over now, Michael, that you wouldn't even believe. Everybody wants to come over. They see the poll numbers. They see what's going on. We have a movement. We're having 25,000 people and 35,000 people show up to events. And we have a movement that's taking our country back. And we're going to straighten out the country. We're going to take it back. And it's going to be so good, and we're going to all be proud of it. I mean, everybody's going to be proud of it. But a lot of the people that you're talking about, and a lot of people that you least suspect, are calling now. They want to come over to our side, and I think I'm going to unify the party, because our party is badly divided. Our country is divided, and even the Republican Party is divided. So I think we have a chance to really take our country back and also strengthen our party.
Well, Mr. Stone has put out an email today saying that the Republicans are conspiring to steal the primary from you, even if you win it. What are we going to do if that happens, Mr. Trump?
I hope that that doesn't happen. You know, in boxing, when you go into a territory where it's a home court advantage for one of the fighters, the other fighter says, well, the only way I know I can win is to knock him out. And the way I win is to win the primaries, because if I win the primaries, they can't take anything. So we're going to win a lot, I think. And hopefully we can do great in Iowa. And in New Hampshire, we have a big, big lead. And in South Carolina and Nevada, we have a big lead. So we'll see what happens. But, hey, look, you know, these people don't like to lose their power. And a lot of them don't even care about who's president. They just want to keep their little seat of power.
It's all about the gravy train, isn't it? Finally, Mr. Trump, how important is the Jerry Falwell Jr. endorsement to you? Is it very significant?
To me, the Jerry Falwell Jr. Endorsing me, and I just found out about it, it just happened a little while ago, is such a big event. He's a respected religious leader like few others. I mean, he's respected by everybody. He's loved by everybody. He's also seen everybody. You know, his school, Liberty University, has a magnificent auditorium that holds like 12,000 people, a tremendous place. And everybody goes that's running for office virtually has gone through Liberty University at one point. I was there 2 weeks ago. And everybody, and to have Jerry come out and support me is a tremendous thing. And we have Sarah Palin, and we have Willie. We have so many great supporters. It's amazing. Willie Robertson. We have so many great supporters. And I tell you what, you have a lot more coming, because they all want to join the bandwagon now.
Donald, before you go, I've been backing you from the day you started. We have nothing in common, meaning we don't have business together. We don't do business together. There's no deals between us. I just want the best for America. I want a winner. I want someone who can take on ISIS. I want someone who can defeat China in negotiations. I want Mexico to stop flooding us with immigrants. Now we have the Zika virus coming in from South America. This is insanity. Donald, you're the only candidate who can do this. And I know women, smart women, business women who are very wealthy, built their own businesses, Donald. Every one of them, some of them are even liberals, are backing you. Do you know that?
I think it's so great. I think we're going to do even better than the poll numbers are showing, I hope. You know, a lot of people are saying that, where the polls are so great, but we may do better. But who knows? We have to see. Hey, look, I'm working hard, and a lot of people are working hard, and we have such great support, but we still have to get there, and I don't want to take anything for granted. I always like to say there's a long way to go, but I will say this, just to finish off. If I get there, you will be very proud, and you have been an original backer from a long time ago, and I appreciate it, Michael, and I'll never forget it.
I know you don't. That's something people don't understand about you, and they don't understand about the winning personality, is that you never forget your friends, and you never forget those who put knives in your back. Donald Trump, all I can say is my audience is 98% behind you. I'm sorry it's that low, but I'll work on the other 2% over the coming weeks.
That's great. Well, you are a great guy, and I really appreciate it. And I'm heading to Iowa right now. Actually, as soon as this call is over, I'm going to be on a plane for Iowa, and I'm going to have a lot of fun there tonight. And they're amazing people, and I think we're going to do well there.
Enjoy the meatloaf, and thank you, and God bless you, Donald. Thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation. All right. Well, Mr. Trump's on his way to the airport, I understand, to head out to Iowa. He said to Michael Savage, you've been an original supporter. I'd like to ask you, the listener, you are the ultimate judge. The phone number here is 855-407-2282. I don't want to be generic and say what you think of the interview, because many of you will say, good job, Michael. Did you hear the questions that I actually asked him, all of you doubting Thomases? Can anyone listening to this program at this time tell me anybody in the media, anyone, left, right, or center, said to Donald Trump that some people called you a bully? Did you think I handled that well? Did you think that Donald Trump answered it well? We talked about immigration. We talked about appointing only a combat-experienced veteran as defense secretary rather than these, I don't know what to call them, lobbyists who run the Defense Department going back to Vietnam. And I recommended Senator Tom Cotton for the job, since he is exactly that, an experienced veteran who is now a U.S. senator. We then talked about Bernie Sanders as a naked far-left radical, some would say communist, and I asked him to comment on that. We talked about Muslims in Europe and what he would do to stop the flood of immigrants into America. And the phone number here, if you care to call the show, is 855-407-282. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. All right, well, you heard the interview with Donald Trump. Many of you heard all of it, some of it, most of it. Personally, from my point of view, of all of the interviews that I've done on this show since 2011, I will remind you, 2011 says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Today is the seventh interview. This was the best. I felt it was the most pointed, and no one expected me to ask at least one of those questions. We made news today, incidentally. And I've invited you to call. And before you take your calls, we're almost out of time, believe it or not. Some of the news out there has to be talked about. For example, you heard about the active shooter in the San Diego hospital today. Active shooter, active shooter, active shooter. And did you hear the commands that they gave the Navy personnel? Hide, run, or fight. The last was fight. That's the new military under Barack Obama. Hide, run, or fight. Can you believe this country has fallen to this level? Not fight, but hide, run, and fight. That's the military under Barack Obama. For those of you who want to know what's happening in the world, Italy has covered nude statues during the Iranian madman president's museum visit. Italian officials have capitulated to this throwback monster from Iran and covered up ancient statues because the Muslim, who, as you well know, is so holy and clean and pure and better than everybody on the planet, was visiting the museum. And the wooden panels were used to cover statues inside Rome's Capitoline museums. I've never heard of anything like this. It used to be when in Rome do as the Romans do. Apparently it's now, well, you fill in the blank yourself. We've got tons of callers. There's room for one more. No, oops, line is gone. We will post the Donald Trump interview on MichaelSavage.com at the end of the show. I thank you for listening. And remember this. All current enemies attacking Donald Trump have attacked Michael Savage for years. Never forget that, because I won't, nor should you.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Don't expect to read it on any website because I'm the outsider, as you well know. I'm not a member of the clique that the National Review supports or their followers in the media. But the fact is that we made news, and I did it for you, the listener. I try to bring you the best show I can every day, and I believe Donald Trump knows that. Donald Trump's been on the show six or seven times. I first interviewed him in 2011, 5 years ago, long before any of you knew who he was. You took him on seriously then. Yeah, well, who cares about Trump? You know, blah, blah, blah. Now, all of a sudden, everyone's supporting Trump after stabbing him in the back for the last 30 days. They're all, I get along with him. I love Donald Trump. Oh, yeah, we're buddies. Oh, yeah, we met him on the beach. We were running around together. We were collecting seashells in the sand. Yeah, we collect seashells all the time. But the fact is that we had the interview. I asked you what you thought of it. You called 855-407-282. We'll take some of your calls. But this news just came out. Fox News is now mocking Donald Trump's threat to pull out of the debate. The idiots at Fox News said in a Twitter, "We learned from a secret back channel that the Ayatollah and Putin both intend to treat Donald Trump unfairly when they meet with him if he becomes president. A nefarious source tells us that Trump has his own secret plan to replace the cabinet with his Twitter followers to see if he should even go to those meetings," Fox said in a tongue-in-cheek statement. That's juvenile. It's idiotic. Everyone knows Megyn Kelly is not a journalist. Everyone knows Megyn Kelly is a showgirl. Everyone knows that Megyn Kelly is trying to attack Trump because she's jealous of his wife. Everyone knows that. And I suggest he shouldn't go, by the way. And he posted a vote in which Twitter users can answer the question, should I go to the GOP debate? And as of when the show began, 3 o'clock, yes votes were slightly outpacing no votes. I would say don't go, but he'll probably do it. I don't think he needs to go to another debate. As you all know, this debate coming up Thursday night, I believe, is the final idiotic Republican debate. They should stop it already. They're only weakening themselves by attacking each other. They should be focusing on the communist and the Harridan. And then finally, the caucus. The GOP gathering before the Iowa caucus on Monday. Caucus. The average American, if you stopped in the street and said, "What is a caucus? What is a caucus?" They don't know. We have the most antiquated political system in the world is found in the United States of America. It's like 1870. The buggy whip. No Henry Ford. No cars. The buggy whip. We have the buggy whip of politics in America. A caucus? What, 50 people decide who's going to win? Caucus! They could get Joe from the diner, and they get Mary from the mattress factory, and they get the other one as a pig killer. Another one knows how to tie hogs. Another one knows how to grow wheat. Wonderful people. Great. They're the bedrock of America. They're going to tell me who's going to win the debate in Iowa, and I'm supposed to vote based on 16 people in Iowa. You hear the system that we have? Meanwhile, this morning, a backfire occurs somewhere in San Diego, and the whole military goes on lockdown. And the idiots running the military put out a note, active shooter. And they told everyone, hide, run, or fight. They let them fight. You either hide, run, or fight. That's the new motto of the U.S. Navy. Can you believe this? The new motto of the U.S. Navy is hide, run, or fight. Take a guess who's running the U.S. Navy. Take a look at what Obama put in there. Some girl who can't row a rowboat is running the U.S. Navy. All right, girls, line up now. That's running the U.S. Navy. Hide, run, and fight. Now they want Bernie Sanders to be the commander-in-chief. Can you believe this? A loser from Katz's Delicatessen. I don't know this country. What a choice that would be. Donald Trump versus Bernie Sanders. 85-15. No matter how they stack it against him. All right, let's go to the callers, because Mark on JRW in Michigan is the first up this hour. Mark, go ahead, please. What's your question or comment?
Hey, Mr. Savage. Thanks for taking my call. I've only actually heard your show a couple of times, and I'm really glad that I tuned in today. I've heard a bunch of interviews already with Mr. Trump, who I really like a lot. but yours has been by far one of the best interviews I've heard with him. He didn't waste a lot of time talking about a lot of fluff issues like, you know, the Ted Cruz stuff, you know, their little scuffle they're having. I thought you asked some really good questions, especially about, you know, who wants to run the Defense Department and what Mr. Trump wants to do with that. And the second thing I wanted to say, I wanted to apologize to you and all your viewers for voting for Barack Obama the first time. One of the biggest mistakes in my life. I'll never do it again.
Well, you're from Michigan, filled with kind people, nice people who want to do the right thing. And you don't have to apologize for being nice, but Obama exploited the niceness in America's heartland. There's no question he's a con man, and he has stabbed us in the back. But nevertheless, thanks for listening to the show, and I'm going to send you a gift. If you're a new listener, you're going to get a copy of Government Zero, my most recent best-selling book. Government Zero, it's something you're going to want to have for your library right through to the election. Let's go to the next caller, my friends. KSFO, right in my hometown of San Francisco. Jeff, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I have a couple points. First of all, in your interview, President Trump said, not surprisingly, that people are coming over to his side in stage, okay? I am not surprised, okay? I feel like 4 years from now, after he's done whatever he does, it's going to be good. I don't think anyone is going to say, I wish I had voted for Hillary. Okay, and also, second point, pretend you're a military person. Pretend you're overseas defending your family. Who are you going to fight for, Hillary or freaking Trump?
Okay, we're not going to comment on the comments. 30 seconds or less, try to think about what you're saying before you say it and make it simple, and we're going to go one caller after the other. As you can imagine, the lines are flooded after such a big interview. Everybody wants Donald, but not everybody gets Donald because he knows who... He's loyal to those who have been loyal to him from the beginning in plain English, and he doesn't forget those who stabbed him in the back for years running, and then all of a sudden, oh, I always liked Donald. I have nothing against him. Why, we're good buddies. You did nothing against him. No. We're good friends now. Okay, that's that. Again, we know about the Zika virus that is suddenly that's threatening, especially pregnant women. And many people don't know what to do. They're terrified. The first thing you do is don't go to those countries where the virus is prevalent right now. Do not travel to the Caribbean. Do not travel to Tahiti. Do not travel to south of the border, especially Central America, where Obama seems to cull as many illegal aliens as he can and dump them on us by the trainload. I mean, in any other time, it's a crime against the nation, what he did to us. But I can't go back and forth every time I mention this man's name. Instead, I got so mad, I tried to get even. And I wrote a quick book. Well, it took me only a year, this one. Actually, it took me 20 years. It's an e-book called Diseases Without Borders. It's based on what is known about boosting your own immune system. In order to get it out, I put it up as an ebook, and you can see the link on michaelsavage.com. It only went up at the beginning of the show. The book's only out for a week. I'm sorry. I'm so excited today. I can hardly keep up with myself. It's only going to be out in about a week, in early February. Diseases Without Borders, boosting your immunity against infectious diseases from the flu and measles to tuberculosis. Even though tuberculosis is a bacterial infection, you can still stimulate your immune system. And shocking already, the book is number 6 in the Kindle store. I don't know how that happened. It only got listed today. It's number 6 in the Kindle store. That's amazing. Under health and fitness. And this is a book that even liberals really ought to read. If they want to wait for Sandra Guppyfish, go ahead. Maybe Sandra Guppyfish will one of these days write a book that you can actually read. Disease Without Borders. KKOH. Abe, you're up. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Savage. I was just curious. I didn't have a chance to listen to the entire interview you had with Donald Trump, but I was curious of what your take would be on the question that people raised with respect to who he's going to possibly have a chance to pick for a Supreme Court justice with Ginsburg, Breyer, and maybe somebody else.
I don't understand. You're asking me to ask him a question after he left the show?
Not after he left the show. I didn't get a chance to even hear if you'd asked.
So why are you on the air? What did the call screener put you up for? What was he? Didn't you tell him you didn't listen to the interview?
I didn't get a chance to.
You didn't get a chance to tell my call screener you didn't hear the interview?
Not that I'm aware of, no. I didn't.
Did he ask you? Did he ask you? Did you hear the interview? I mean, I'm not mad at you, but I don't understand how I can answer such a question. He is not here.
I am.
A screener should have asked if you heard the interview. Okay, let's move on. KBET, Bonnie, welcome. What's on your mind?
Well, what put me over the vault, and all along I've been for Trump, got a little rocky on the conservative issue. His military question, that did it. I'm done. I know who I'm voting for.
Well, you're leaving me in the dust. What military question are you referencing?
About the leaders like MacArthur and Patton is who he would put in place.
So you heard me ask him this question. Here are the exact words. Mr. Trump, would you agree on this show to only appoint a combat-experienced veteran as defense secretary? I can recommend Senator Tom Cotton for the job. And what was his answer that you recall, Bonnie, to the best of your memory?
That he wanted military men like George Patton and Douglas MacArthur in place.
And so when you heard that, you said you were on the fence for Trump till you heard that? Okay, well, you made your point. That's very good. Interview made her come off the fence for Trump. KLIF, in the great city of Dallas, Texas. Kelly, go ahead and make your point on the Savage Nation.
How are you today?
What's on your mind, Kelly?
Well, I'm one of your 2% that is coming off of the fence for Trump. I have been a conservative, and I'm sick and tired of it. Absolutely sick and tired of it.
You're no longer a conservative. You've become a what?
Pardon me?
You're not a conservative. What have you become then?
I don't know. I think maybe I'm trying to become a nationalist.
Okay. You're accepting my definition of Donald as he's a mild nationalist. And you're coming off the fence. Who were you supporting prior to today?
Cruz.
Okay. We don't have to nail Cruz to a cross in order to support Trump. But the fact is that Cruz supported TPP, which Obama wanted desperately. And without Cruz's support, which was critical, I don't think Obama would have gotten that trade authority. Do you know that?
Exactly. I do.
I don't know how many people know how significant. I don't know how anyone can call themselves a true conservative and omit the inconvenient truth that Ted Cruz, their candidate, gave Obama on a silver platter what he wanted, which is special trade authority, which will open up even a greater trade imbalance with the United States of America. Kelly, I thank you for listening so carefully. That opens up one line at 855-400-7282 on the Savage Nation. If you care to comment on the Trump interview or any of the news items that I've touched on, such as teen refugee arrested and stabbing death of Swedish social worker, will the GOP establishment steal the 2016 nomination from Donald Trump, and all of the other topics, you can do so by calling that one number back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I want to digress for a minute. You know, we're all into politics, but none of us live forever. And, you know, Teddy, my dog, is the mascot of the Savage Nation. He's been with me 11 or 12 years. I don't remember. Time has just gone by in the blink of an eye. I don't remember. He was on stage with me when he was a little black puppy. Many of you remember from the KSFO audience and the Environs. I was live at the Concord Pavilion, now known as the Chronicle Pavilion. 7,000 of you were there. Teddy was on stage with me. It seems like it happened yesterday. I was out there with the red Cadillac. Well, you know, time, gravity, etc. And they're a reflection of our own lives. The last one I lost died soon before my mother did. And I remember it because I think that looking back, it was God's way of preparing me for that. And now Teddy's sick. I don't know how long he's going to live. You know, people say it's not a big deal, a mitral valve, and a murmur, heart murmur. So I took him in for the cardiogram yesterday. This all started because of the teeth. They have to remove some teeth on Wednesday, and they don't know if the dog's strong enough to take anesthesia, and they see if the heart's strong enough. And the most wonderful veterinarian, I didn't even know, you know, such people existed, with a specialty in pet cardiology, comes in with equipment. And it's not a big deal to those of you who don't have dogs, but for those of you who do have been through it, understand what this means. And the last cardiogram I saw was my own. And before that, my father's, before he died. I'm still kicking, by the way. Mine, the last I checked, was good. I did a stress EKG. I don't know how, but it showed no abnormalities. I mean, every time I go, I think I'm going to die on the treadmill, or that they're going to tell me that this is the way to the operating room. And they say, no, you're fine. I don't know how. With the stress I'm under and the abuse, basically, of my life on my psyche, on my body, I keep on kicking. So I keep on ticking. But the thing is, the Teddy goes in, and you know, dogs are innocent. They don't know it. They're having fun running around. And I'm talking to them. So at first, you know, blah, 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 but then the three women held him down. That unto itself was a metaphor, but they hold him down because she has to control him, you know, otherwise the echocardiogram doesn't read right. And something odd happened. He let out a high-pitched cry, a low one, that I had never heard come out of his being in all the 11 or 12 years I've known him. I mean, I heard him cry if you step on his foot, God forbid, which happened maybe once someone did on his little toes. I heard him squeal, right? But he's a quiet dog. This is a quiet animal. This is not a barker. During a show, he'll bark if someone, you know. He let out a high-pitched whine. It sounded like on a level of a porpoise, you know, like almost sub-hearing level. And it got to me. It was made for me because I couldn't touch him. They said, don't touch him because every time you do, he squirms. So I kept talking to him. He started to let out a whine, a low one, that, you know, cut me to pieces. And I put it up on a movie of it, a one-minute little video of it on Facebook.com, Michael Savage. Why? I'm exploiting my dog, that's why. I'm exploiting Teddy. No, because so many of you come to love him like your own, and many of you wrote the most beautiful things imaginable. And I don't know what else to say other than thank you. He's a beautiful little animal. Tomorrow is the big day because I was wrecked bad enough last night. Tomorrow's going to be the worst because he gets the anesthesia and the surgery. And she said to me, even healthy dogs die under anesthesia. I'm not going to lie to you. Okay? So tomorrow's that. But the show must go on, and I will go on. And that's it. That's the story. You won't know about it until after it's over. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Questions no one's ever asked him, and the diehards call me up. Oh, you asked him softball questions. Oh, he's not specific enough. When is he going to stop saying generalities and speaking in generalities and start being specific? Well, I don't know how much more specific you can be. I said to him a number of things that no one's ever asked me for, like, people call you a bully. And I say we need a tough negotiator to beat our enemies. I say the Americans have been wimped down and think we need a nice guy in the Oval Office. And I said, Mr. Trump, how will you appeal to all of these brainwashed fools? That's not specific enough? That's a softball question? Who asked him a tougher question than that? Who's ever said, Mr. Trump, some people are calling you a bully? Nobody. I said, Mr. Trump, would you agree on this show to only appoint a combat experienced veteran as defense secretary? I said, I can recommend Senator Tom Cotton for the job. You heard his answer, didn't you? That's a softball question? I mean, what is wrong with you people? What world do you live in? Muslim refugees in Europe, Mr. Trump, are raping and murdering. What would you do to reverse Obama's flooding of America with violent and diseased immigrants? He answered the question. Mr. Trump, Bernie Sanders is a naked far-left radical. Some would say communist. I know the type from New York streets. What would you say to my audience about Bernie Sanders, and how would you overcome the hordes of poor and immigrants who hate the rich? That's a softball question? Well, give me an example of a hardball question that you would have asked them if you had a radio show. I know what you'll say to me, like questions that no one wants an answer to. Questions that for which there is no answer, number one. And number two, a question no one even cares about. Let's take the real callers, the real listeners to the Savage Nation. Rich on KLIF in Dallas, go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael. Your interview was excellent, and just as you said a few seconds ago, you did ask the hard questions, and he gave you good, honest answers. And I'm going to say this right now, Michael Savage, that Trump is going to win, and the reason why he's going to win and be successful is the same reason why you are. You guys research. You guys know what you're talking about. You speak with compassion and passion, and you speak with authority. When you listen to Trump, and I listen to you, it's just magnificent to see how you present things and how well it's being received. So Trump will win, and I do hope you reconsider taking a position. I know the flight from Washington back to San Francisco every day will be difficult, or whenever you have to do it, but we need people like you with Trump to to make America better, Michael.
Well, first of all, he didn't win. Secondly, he didn't offer me any position. Let's be clear about that. And number three, if he wins, I'll ask him if I can use Air Force Two to go back and forth. And that would be the only condition for the job. I'll do it for $1 a year. But he's got to give me Air Force Two or Air Force Three, and I'll go back and forth. I don't know if that would even be legal. Who knows what? I mean, I think they only use Air Force Two for Michelle's parties around the world. I think it's only allowed to be as the party plane. Air Force Two is the official party plane for the White House right now. It's used not by the vice president, but I think they bring in entertainers and the pet trainers and whatnot, and they go on vacation. But thank you for the compliments. I appreciate that. Am I lobbying for a job? Is that why I'm being nice to Trump? Nah, not really. I don't think I'm made for a bureaucracy. I don't think I could take it. To be Irish about it, I don't think I can take it. I love the Irish accent. No, I don't think I could take it. They turn every question every answer into a question. It's a great culture the way they use the language. I don't think I can take it. You think I want to put a bomb in your mother's house? Oh, Lordy, what a good day this is. I had enough coffee to finally enjoy it. Teddy's asleep right now waiting for the show to end. He knows when it ends and about. He stares at me. He lays there right till the show's over. And right when he hears the closing part of the show, he stretches. And he knows he gets a run around the cul-de-sac if I'm out here. And all I can think now is of the valve. Once I saw that on the screen, the echocardiogram, all I see now is a valve that's not closing with blood leaking. It's terrible, really. You know, maybe, you know, when you eat of the apple of knowledge, so to speak, right? Isn't that the whole metaphor from the Bible? You eat of the apple of knowledge. Can you ever be the same again? Nah. No. Better you be an ignorant moron and vote for Obama and think he loves America. Better you be an ignorant moron and say America's, well, that's not who we are. We welcome everyone, even grifters, murderers, and rapists. Because we're bigger than that. You'll be an idiot. Live in that world. You know, we welcome everybody. We're a nation of immigrants. All the platitudes. Oh, yeah, I'm an immigrant son. I know that. We were a nation of immigrants who came here to work, not to work the system. Yeah, I know that. But you see, when the statement by Emma Lazarus was inscribed on the Statue of Liberty, give us your tired, your poor, your hungry, etc., there was no welfare. There was no welfare system where they came and sat on their behinds and knocked out children like bread in a factory. No. It was a different time. Yeah, give us your tired, your poor, and your hungry, right? That's not what they were bringing in immigrants for when that was put on the Statue of Liberty. It was to work them like slaves in the garment center and in building things around America. The Italians came and they worked like slaves. Stonemasons, builders worked like heck. And they worked their way up. So two generations later, or a generation or two later, the children are doing better. That was the American way. Now they want to go to the head of the class. Now they want to own the company and own the country. You just come here anyway, they own everything. They own the country, they tell you to shut up. And it's no longer when in Rome do as the Romans do. Now it's when in Rome tell the Romans to shut up and cover up your statues. Because the chief bugaboo from Iran is going there. Could you ever believe you'd live in a time like this, that wimps in Italy would put boxes, wood boxes around statues going back ancient times because it might offend some phony in a robe from Iran? A man who imprisons, tortures, murders. It's unbelievable to me. Khomeini coming from Iran. He's going to visit our museum. But cover up all the ancient Roman statues. That's right. Cover it up. Poor man. You don't want to offend the man. He's never seen anything like that. Once he takes off those holy robes and that thing off his head, he's not like you and I. No, he's more superior to you. Right. What a world of idiots running the West. Holy God, Trump is the only one to save the world. Not only the West. You know, I see an alliance between Trump and Putin. And when that alliance is created, you're going to see a different world. You're going to see a different world. Right now you have America being run by a man who is not only undermining all of our values and everything we believe in, but he is actually trying to destroy Vladimir Putin for reasons that are very complicated, but they're not solely political. They're extremely personal. I've spoken about it and I've written about it. Do you know that President Obama is the first president in modern history who was not nominated in the top two positions of being the most powerful person in the world? Did you know that? Did you know that this egomaniac, narcissist, sociopath in the White House has a personal vendetta against Vladimir Putin because he was pushed out of the winner's circle by Putin? This is the kind of danger we are in. But anyway, you know, whatever. You don't want to hear any of that. Your mind is made up. Let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation about the interview, about the news, views, and reviews. KSFO, line 9, go ahead. Question or comment, 30 seconds or less, fire away.
Dr. Savage, that interview was the best. Every time you have Mr. Trump on, he gets more calm and he sounds more presidential. It was fantastic, and he should appoint you ambassador to the UN. First job, that's the job you should have for 1 year to clean that mess out.
No, that would be funny. If I were ever UN ambassador, the first thing I would do is I'd give a speech saying, we are officially out of business, wrap up your bags, empty out your apartments and go home, because we're turning it into condominiums.
The Republican establishment, they have no shame. See, they're all talkers, and Donald is a doer, and that's why they are so scared of him. He's going to expose them for the nothings they are.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed the interview. I'm glad you waited for it. You know, the buildup was significant. And I think that the delivery was on target. I think I delivered on the goods, don't you? I mean, I don't think I asked softball questions. I know I didn't. No one's asked these questions. We actually made news today.
Every interview.
If you analyze the questions, and if there was a fair media, so-called conservative media, where is the conservative media? Can you name the conservative media? Who is the conservative media? Where does it exist? There'd be headlines all over the conservative media. Trump says he will appoint a military, an experienced military man to the Defense Department. That's news, isn't it?
Yes, sir. If that is.
That's news. That's news. That would be in the conservative media that doesn't exist. I asked him about that. I said, would you agree on this show to only appoint a combat experienced veteran as defense secretary? I can recommend Senator Tom Cotton for the job. He answered the question. It was news. But since there's no conservative media, what's conservative? Walk around with a halo on their head? Hi, I'm a conservative. What does that mean? You're better than everybody? I'm cleaner than everybody? I'm more honest than everybody? What does that mean? That's absurd. It means nothing. It means nothing today. It's a label. Bernie Sanders is a far-left radical, probably a communist. That's not a label. That's real. For his whole political life, he boasted that he's a socialist. All of a sudden now, he's not a socialist anymore, according to Roger Ailes and Fox News. They don't even identify him anymore as a socialist. They say, a Democrat candidate. They've dropped the word socialist at Fox News. You want to see bias? Don't look any further than any of the media outlets. I asked him about the bully thing. I pondered whether I should even ask it. But you know, he didn't take umbrage when I said some people call you a bully. Because I immediately followed up by saying, I tell them we need a tough negotiator to beat our enemies. I said, Americans have been wimped down and think we need a nice guy in the Oval Office. I said, Mr. Trump, how would you appeal to all of these brainwashed fools? He didn't say, how dare you ask the question and hang up. He's not as thin-skinned as people would have you believe. He didn't hear about the questions before. Nobody sent him the questions. Nobody asked me to send him the questions. Okay? It wasn't a setup. Now, why did he not respond? Why did he not take umbrage to that question? Because he understood where I was coming from. That means he has subtlety. Do you understand that? So all of the doubting Thomases out there should understand that he's much different than you may want him to think you are. He is. You have to deal in reality. He's far more intelligent than you. He's far more experienced than you. He's far wealthier than you. He has better shoes than you. He has a nicer wife than you. That's the reason you don't trust him. It's as simple as that. It used to be said that that was the reason. And, unfortunately, it's still true. Human jealousy knows no bounds. And, again, I'm going to repeat it over and over again until you hear it. All of those people who have been attacking Trump until very recently, maybe a week ago, all of them, every last one of them, were the ones who were trying to run my show off the radio, trying to denigrate my books. Every last one of those doubting Thomases who have been trying to run Trump down until about a week ago were running against Michael Savage for various and sundry reasons. They're one and the same. Both Trump and I are outsiders. Both Trump and I have been independents from the get-go. We have never been supportive of either party for obvious reasons. And our time has come.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, how do I close the show after such a stupendously wonderful original interview, other than saying thanks for listening to the show, and I hope that you got something out of it and help you make up your mind for the most important presidential race of our life? I mean, we have him versus the grifter, who every day it looks like she's going to be indicted or resign. I mean, there's no question there's a lot of pressure on her to step down or take the indictment, because that's what's coming down. We got the FBI pushing against her for good reason. Apparently she transmitted top secret emails beyond top secret. Then you got this lunatic, a lifetime socialist communist, and now even Fox News is deleting the socialist connection to this man's name. We have the highest corporate taxes in the world. And here's a man saying he's going to raise taxes. And instead of a real debate last night, what we had was an infomercial by CNN, as you would expect, because they're all socialists slash communists, anarchists at CNN and the other networks. So they give them however long it was, an infomercial on CNN. And the idiot Republicans let Megyn Kelly turn them against each other. They shouldn't take her bait. That's all I can say. She's a showgirl, a good showgirl at that. And when she tries to set them up against Donald Trump or against each other, what they have to do is smile at her and turn the argument and attack Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, or get real personal and attack Megyn Kelly and make it very personal. What, is she above the law? Her skirts are so clean? They can't attack her and say, look, why don't you act like a journalist instead of a, you know, whatever. I mean, there's ways to do this. They don't have to take it from her. They could do it with a smile, too. But I don't know that they will. The only one who might do it would be Donald. But you know that she's going to set him up, because that's her stock and trade. And they shouldn't do it. Well, tomorrow's a rough day for me. 6 in the morning, he's got to go to the doctor, the dog, sit there all morning till he takes him in. And I don't know what, you know, who knows. I'm going to go on the air while he's in there, while he's out of it. They're going to get the call, not the call. Who knows what's going to go on. Another man would take the day off. But I won't, because the show must go on. That's all. Things have happened in our lives, and you go to work anyway. It's only a dog, right? Well, you eat meat, don't you? You eat hamburger. What's the big deal? What are you making a big deal of it? Who cares about that when Ted Cruz is running? Does that dog know anything about the Constitution? All right, that's what you think. But I don't know. All I think now is when he sleeps in the bed, is that going to be the last heartbeat? I mean, she told me. She said, count the number of beats per minute as he's sleeping. Every time I look at his breathing now, all I can think about is a valve that's not closing right, leaking blood back into the other chamber. I don't want to know it. I mean, I studied biology. I know this. I don't want to know about the mitral valve. Now I want to go get a cardiogram. I only had one a year ago on the treadmill, looking like Bob Dole with the undershirt, running till I thought I would call. I thought they were going to have to call 911, but they didn't. Perfect. I went out immediately to Joe's bar. I didn't go to Joe's bar. I don't drink that much. It's a shtick. I don't even like alcohol. Once in a while, I have a drink. But with what's going on in the world today, I'd rather not. Well, look, it's been a great night on the Savage Nation. I hope you've enjoyed it. I think I did a fairly fine job for you. And we'll post it on michaelsavage.com, where you can find a listing for the most important of my most recent books, From Health, Diseases Without Borders. Shocking to think that they're bringing them in with illnesses, but they are. Thanks for listening.